Smash cut.
A technique in film where one scene abruptly cuts to another without transition.
Much like a typical conversation with me and my friends when discussing film, television, music, video games, or anything else that happens to come up. This is the idea behind the show, Smash Cuts.
Okay.
Who are you talking to?
Like, myself, you know. Hey, you know, it's, the sad part is that's what I spend most of my day talking to, myself, because I'll be like, wait, did you do this?
Yeah, I do this.
I'm in my office.
I talk to myself constantly, too, but I normally say, did I do this? I don't normally say, did you do this?
Yeah, I'm like, did you do this? Why did you do this? Bad. Magic. Don't do that again.
What's the matter with Rich? Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of Smash Cuts. I'm Rich Caban, and I'm here with Jacqueline Kimmick.
Hello.
And David Maldonado.
It's me.
And this is Smash Cuts. Bing, bing, bing.
Where do you get that from? You do that every time. I don't get it. Is it a reference that I'm missing, like of my own podcast?
No, it's our high tech sound effects. It's our
That's production. Right,
it's the noise that says that Smash Cuts is here. No, actually, it's I think it's from the Jetsons. Actually, you remember there was some superhero on there that Elroy loved, and he was like. The guy would go, bing, 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 and then he would do whatever. Okay. But I don't even remember. I just remember the sound. I don't remember
that, but I believe you, and it makes me get it more. Because I was always like, why is he doing that?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's from the Jetsons. It's the Jetsons, which is basically the cultural basis for everything. Because when you think about... When someone says something about the future, there was like the Jetsons future. You know, there's no other way.
No, brought that up. Where did they just bring like some news show, like, well, comedy news show, like The Daily Show or Colbert Report or Last Week Tonight. Somebody just had a little panel about that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because it's true. Because I was listening to something where they said, they mentioned something about the, you know, we don't have the flying cars, like the Jetsons promises the flying cars And it's like, well, you know, how did the Jetsons become like the cultural reference, like the Bible to what everything has to be?
You mean I can turn my car into a suitcase?
Yeah. Yeah, Hanna-Barbera.
I wish I could remember who did the skit, but whoever it was that did put a bunch of news clips together with anchors talking about it, too. And it was so funny how many they had.
Oh, that's
I'm like,
funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, everybody
clip
says
after
it.
Clips.
I do love, you know, I love when, what's his name? John Oliver does that, but also somebody else does it, too, where... They put up clips of newscasters using buzzwords, and it's so funny because whenever you see the news and they use some buzzword that they've never used before, I love that they get called out on shows like John Oliver or it's the Tonight Show that'll just like do a montage of them all saying, you know. I can't even think of one now, but some buzzword that all of
boots
a sudden...
Boots on the ground was the most recent.
Yeah, boots on the ground.
Boots
yeah, exactly.
Boots on the ground. Yeah.
And then they all say it differently. Go, well, you know, they have boots on the ground, and the boots on the ground is the way, you know, like all they all try to use it as if they just came up with it off the top of their head. But
right.
It's
all organized.
Yeah. I have to say, I gotta direct everyone to this. There's the YouTube channel that where they go on, they do the Honest Trailers. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
They
so great.
They just did one that wasn't an Honest Trailer, but I thought it was awesome to watch it. It was all of the references from Cabin in the Woods. And,
oh, really?
And
cool.
What's amazing about that is essentially they're saying you just don't drive yourself crazy, but there's so many that you wouldn't even imagine. There's even video game references, like Silent Hill. There's like the little actress that played the little girl in the first movie. Is actually in the movie dressed as a Silent Hill character in the background on one of the screens.
Oh, right on. That's awesome.
Like,
oh,
there's like cool. tons of like, oh, you definitely check it out. It's on the Honest Trailers website. I'll definitely see if Tony can put up the link. But, it's fun to watch because it makes me want to watch the movie again. Now that I see all the references, like so many references from movies, video games, everything that they do, even I don't even remember this. They were talking about there was one reference where you know how they always in the movie they made a big deal that she's stabbing the creature and then she drops the knife.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that part of the they were making fun of the part where whenever that happens, somebody always drops the weapon they just used. And in the movie, one of the guys is just talking, he presses a button, and you see this little electric shock go into the knife that she's holding, so she unconsciously lets it go because it shocks her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't remember that at all. Like, that's that scene. So
just happened so fast. Yeah,
yeah, there was so many subtle little things. So it's,
I was gonna show that one to the boys. I mean, we're starting to get them into horror movies because they're old enough right now. They're, you know, the almost teenagers,
especially the fun ones. You got to get them in good.
So I was like, my wife was like, maybe we should show them Cabin in the Woods. I'm like, no, they have to watch the movies first in order to get the references. I'm like, so we watched a bunch of movies, but yeah, they're not ready yet. They still have to see a bunch of stuff. But I'm proud of them. They sat through Evil Dead 2. They sat through Nightmare on Elm Street.
Enjoyed it. There's a difference.
they enjoyed it to the point where they realized that it wasn't as frightening or scary as these horror movies like pretend to be.
Yeah.
They're actually fun to watch. They're over the top and insane. Yeah. But to be honest with you, they enjoyed Army of Darkness more.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because it's more of a comic book and over the top and crazy.
I remember when I started watching horror movies, like officially, like when I was a teenager with my friends, I was like, yeah, this isn't scary. This is a lot of fun. Then when I'm home alone, hush, little baby, don't say a word. You know, like, it really is what gets you afterwards, you know?
Yeah, I used to be petrified of something that I would laugh at now. I mean, I was so terrified of gremlins because I saw trailers or saw clips where it was these creatures, and I was convinced as a little girl that creatures were living in my walls and under my bed. And I mean, like, that was my life.
Oh,
I ran to the bathroom and left the door open a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I was that girl. Like, but then, of course, becoming old enough to actually watch it, I'm like, oh my God, this is a comedy. You know, like, I didn't realize that this was a comedy. You know, like, it was horrifying to me before I actually saw it. But once I did, it wasn't, you know, scary at all.
And it's weird because I was at the age when I saw that where I wouldn't have even thought of it as a horror film. But thinking about, you know, when I see it through the point of view of somebody else, or even like thinking about it, like for Xavier, I'm like, yeah, he'd be scared to death. But then we took him trick or treating for the first time. He really did enjoy that. But what was so funny is we have a house on our corner that it's like they're Universal all by themselves. Like they make their house look like the greatest.
Every neighborhood has that house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what's so great is I've always seen the statues outside because they have a Michael Myers statue. And right next to it is a gravestone that has the mother's name, you know. And they have every character. But what I never realized was there were people in there also dressed up as characters. So there was a girl in there dressed as Jigsaw, and there's another guy. But so Xavier walked through there with Jennifer by himself, wasn't afraid at all, just kind of walked in, looked around at everybody. And you could tell that they were so used to little kids not coming up and, you know, or trying to come up and leave. Cause I watched a bunch of little kids who would get scared and then not want to go in there, that they weren't expecting him to come all the way up to the stairs and then get some candy and then just leave. So he might be the one that actually enjoys this stuff without being afraid of it.
He's like, I don't know if it's he enjoys that or he enjoys the candy. He's like, look, there is a pot of gold at the end of this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not leaving without my piece of candy.
Yeah. Exactly. Although he hasn't been allowed to eat candy yet, so he just liked the idea of it. So he just...
Oh, good on you. Good on you.
Yeah.
Scary thing going on in the window. The skeleton guy chasing some dude while he's trying to call the phone. And people thought that there were people standing inside my house.
Oh, my God.
So it was kind of neat. And I was pretty proud of myself, even though I was sick. I couldn't, like, really talk to anybody. But I was just watching as people were walking by and the kids were afraid to kind of come up and get candy. Is that real? It's like, no, it's projected.
They're home invasion in process.
Yeah.
So
that's funny. So now for Halloween, I know, Jackie, you went to Halloween Horror Nights, which I remember you
talked about. I did. I got to go to the Universal in Orlando, the Universal Resort in Orlando, and we had Universal Theme Park Day. I mean, it was awesome. We got up super early, went to the parks when they opened so we could do Universal just like as a normal park, and got to go to like the Harry Potter, Wizarding World of Harry Potter, you know. They had just opened the Diagon Alley expansion at the Universal Park. They had already had the Islands of Adventure Park for Harry Potter open for a while, and I had been to that one, but this other one was new, and there were new rides, there were new shops, there was new stuff. I mean, it was really, really cool. And I have to say, I hadn't been to the Orlando Universal theme park in a very long time. I normally go to Islands of Adventure because that one's so much fun, and it has the Marvel Island, and it had the Harry Potter Island, and it has the Jurassic Park Island, and I love it so much. Going to Universal again as an adult, it seems like more of an adult theme park than it does a kid's theme park, even though, of course, they have kids' things there. But it's much more like sit down and watch a show kind of park than it is.
That's why I've always liked
3D cars, but also has some practical effects, too. It kind of takes you through a track, and you're wearing your 3D glasses so that you're on screen. And the cool thing, too, about the Harry Potter stuff is that they got all of the actors from the films to, you know, be a part of these rides. And so, I mean, you see Harry and Hermione and even Snape and Bellatrix. It's all the correct actors actually doing things. And even when you're waiting in line going through Hogwarts or going through these different places like Gringotts, they have, you know, Dumbledore, you know, there. So that's pretty cool. Like, I always really, really enjoy those parks. So we did those during the day and then had dinner and went back to Universal after it had been redressed for Halloween Horror Nights. And oh my God, that's a lot to do in one day.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. By the time we did that, we didn't have time to do every single haunted house they had. They had, I want to say, maybe like 9 or so haunted houses, and we only ended up doing 4. But they were so awesome. Yeah, the whole reason I had to go was because of Alien vs. Predator and From Dusk Till Dawn. Like, it had to happen. So we went to Alien vs. Predator first. That haunted house was so great. And they have it on a soundstage. So it's this big maze that you're walking through. And right from the get-go, you walk in through, like, a crashed Weyland-Yutani truck, you know, and you're kind of, like, ducking down. And it looks like you're stepping on the set of Aliens, the second one. I mean, to the quality of the props. You went on that one, and you, because Dave, you went to the California one, yeah?
I went to the California one, and it was different because I looked online to see, you know, if there were any differences, and there was, because the California one was way cool, but it wasn't being on the set of Aliens. It was more of like the set of the Alien versus Predators movies. So it's like it was an alien battle between two guys that had no aliens. It wasn't on the spaceship. Wasn't Weyland-Yutani. It was like, you know, going through like these dilapidated areas with, you know, the aliens and stuff jumping out at you. But one of the coolest things was that you didn't have. We got a queen alien in a barn.
Amazing.
Scared the it was so intimidating looking and amazing. I couldn't believe my eyes. I just sat there and stared at it for a really long time, and people are trying to push me to keep going, but I was like, no, this is awesome. I'm never going to see this again. I need to sit here and look at this thing.
They were actually pushing you like, beautiful. Dude, this isn't part of the ride. This is real.
So the thing that was interesting about the Aliens house for us, or for Orlando, I should say, was that there were only really a couple aliens in it. It was mostly dominated by the Predator presence, and that's because they had the full body actors in the Predator makeup and garb, and they were incredible. They were so good. The only thing I was disappointed with was they didn't have any actors in alien costumes. It was only like animatronic ones that would kind of pop out at you, and you could kind of see them before they even were there. So they weren't so scary. The Predators that were actually live actors were great. But I have to admit, the aliens were a little lackluster. Did you have any live, you know, people in costume for
Yeah, Annie? there were some. No, I don't recall that. I do recall them popping out of walls and stuff, and like maybe half suits, like people sticking their bodies out halfway. But I could be wrong. It was a pretty crazy night. But you know, there was so much to take in, because I mean I have a method to doing the Halloween Horror Nights, and I end up getting to ride pretty much everything because we start at the back and work our way towards the front. Like, as soon as the gates open. So we started the back where nobody is. The only thing we missed was probably a Walking Dead one because there's two of them.
Oh, there's two of them for you? There was only one of them for us. And I have to say, that surprised me by being my favorite. And it's – I mean, I love Walking Dead, but I really wanted Alien vs. Predator to be my favorite.
Right,
And it wasn't, because the Walking Dead house that they had in Orlando was so good. Every area related back to the show and somewhere that the people had been. So there were a lot of great Easter eggs for, you know, fans of the show. But even if you weren't a fan of the show, it was just a great, scary, you know, haunted house. It was so good. There was this one particular room that was set up so simplistically, but so brilliantly. It was almost like a ballet studio where all of the walls were lined, had to have been lined with mirrors. Not that you couldn't tell, but it was pitch black with a strobe light. And then there was a mob of zombies, which reflected in the mirrors, made it look like you were just in a sea of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, it was so great. And there were no, normally in those mazes, you know, there's kind of like walls that direct you. This was a very big open room, and you didn't have anything to hide behind. You had to just walk through them. And it was so intense. Oh my gosh. Great. It's so simple, but it was so effective.
That's excellent.
But that was my favorite house of the night, actually.
My favorite had to be, I mean, I thought it was going to be the Aliens versus Predator, but it was American Werewolf in London.
Right.
I actually got that in that, because that movie scared the crap out of me as a kid. You know, Richie, we watched it on Betamax and stuff, and I had to, like, close my eyes through a lot of stuff, and my mom would watch it over and over. And it was, I don't know why these people kept watching this movie over and over again, because it kept frightening me. Like, I was just so scared of that freaking movie. But it was, I mean,
because it was the transformation, because I remember.
It was amazing.
Because I was in the movies, and I saw that in the movies with my parents, and I closed my eyes during the transformation sequence. Yeah.
But it's an amazing movie. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time.
It's groundbreaking, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love that movie. But the maze takes you through every stage of that movie. So you're walking through the moors, and freaking you get to see, his Jack get eaten by the freaking get jumped on and eaten by the freaking werewolf, and you go through the dream sequence with all those wolf faced people in the house with the family getting killed. You're in the freaking train station. You're doing all that stuff, and it was just like a nightmare made reality. It was so great, and then towards the end, you get to see, like, you walk down the alleyway. I mean, it's all in a maze. It's not like you're walking through a huge street or whatever, but you walk through the alleyway that, you know, the werewolf is standing, and you get like this full body view of this awesome animatronic, you know, wolf, and it's just like the movie, and it's amazing looking, and it was that was so brilliant. I loved it. I was so happy when I saw that.
Yeah.
It was like, it made my night. I was like, oh, thank God, this is so amazing. But it was really, really cool.
Now, I never got to go to the Florida one. I only went to the one in California, but now that, Dave, you've gone to both, do you think the Florida one is more designed, like, more for theme park, and the one in California is thought more of experiencing the film? Because that's kind of what the original Universal Studios was more about, was experience the film. Like, even Jackie, the one that you say is kind of dull now because they took everything out, essentially, you know?
No, but I mean, I
experienced the movie, and now it seems, you know what I mean? Like, now it's more.
I think it just helps that it's in Hollywood. I mean, I've been to the one in Universal, and I've always loved them. I always had a great time doing them, and they created experiences that were really fun. I don't know. I mean, I it's been so long since I've been to the one in Florida to compare, so I really don't know. Although I know, like, when I watched the Alien versus Predator for the one in Florida, I don't know. I was kind of jealous. I was looking at it, I'm like, damn, they get to walk through the thing, and they got, you know, I was just like, you're walking through the spaceship and stuff. I was so pissed. But I mean, at least I got a freaking Queen Alien. That's what I mean.
Like, it sounds like they're experiencing the actual thing, where in the one in California, because when I went to the California one, even the Buffy one we were walking through and we're in the cemetery. And, oh, look, that's when Spike's doing this. Like, it was like all these scenes that I'd seen that you're kind of right. famous scenes. So it sounds like it was very mm-hmm. similar to that. Like, kind of, it's scary, but you're taking a tour more of the film rather than, you know, right. experiencing something.
Well, but no, but I have to say, and I haven't done the California one. And of course, you guys have it sounds like it's just much more open experience. But that's what I was talking about with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But that's what I was trying to mention with The Walking Dead, where they were taking you through the series.
Oh,
and,
okay.
like, that's what I was talking about with the Easter eggs and stuff like that. For people who are fans of the show, like, it took you all the way through up to Terminus, which, you know, for people who are watching Walking Dead, was the end of last season, beginning of this season.
Yeah.
So, that is part of the experience in Florida, too. I don't know to what degree you're talking about, because I haven't gone to both parks, but that's definitely thought of in the process.
Either way, they do a great job at both parks. I mean, mm-hmm. they do such amazing jobs with the makeup and the set mm-hmm. design. I mean,
one of the greatest things about them has to be even the people who are the street walkers, the street performers. Sometimes right. they'll be linked to, like, whole different areas of the park all have different themes. And mm-hmm. sometimes they'll be linked to a film or something that's coming out. Like, we had The Purge as one of the areas yeah. because it was The Purge Anarchy was coming out. But also there was, like, this crazy voodoo, you know, street. And there was these crazy candelabra, you know, masquerade ball people that were really creepy.
Right.
There was this whole face-off area that had to do with, you know, the show Face Off and the people who do the monster makeup for that. And so, I mean, that's always really inventive and very immersive when you're just walking around and they've got the lights going and the smoke, the fog machines going and, you know, everything very, very cool. The only thing is how crowded it is. So it's just...
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yeah.
They do commercial like that. That's, guy, I'm going to purge you. Coming soon to a theater near you, you know. Like,
that's funny.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys did all the houses, though. I mean, I know that it was open till 2 a.m. the night that we got right. there, and we only lasted till midnight because we had been going since, you know, the parks opened that morning, and I was like,
we were tired. We were definitely tired. By the last one, we were like, yay, okay, that's scary.
Yay.
I didn't have as many as you guys did. Like, it was the first year California was doing it, so mm-hmm. They only had, like, maybe five at the very most, so... Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have been able to do as many as we did, but I had gotten us the fast passes. Like, there's no way we could have waited in the lines. There were lines that were over 2 hours, like, for one haunted house. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no possible way that we... Yeah. Even the fast passes, we had to wait for 45 minutes for the Alien vs. Predator one. But we also went to one that was, like, just a cannibal house, like Roanoke, you know, which was actually very good. And then there was one for From Dusk Till Dawn, which I had to go to. And unfortunately, I was actually really disappointed in that one.
It was just kind of bland. Yeah, the one I went
to. Was... Yeah.
The only thing that wasn't bland was Santanical Pandemonium. She was kind of sweet.
That's cool. That's because you live in California. But you probably have the perfect casting right there.
She was pretty gorgeous, I gotta say.
Yeah. Sorry. No, the only thing that was pretty cool about ours was, you know, the Cheech Marin character, the, you know, cat caller at the front gates was very funny and was picking on, you know, the little girls that were teenagers, like, kind of huddling together, laughing and, you know, being scared and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, hold each other. That'll make it better. You know, like, it's just, like, ridiculous. And he was being lewd without being, you know...
Yeah.
Too much. You know? he wasn't talking about apple pie, so that was good. But it was too bad because the environment was great. You know, the sets were great. But it was very much just like, oh, I'm in a bikini and I'm a vampire. You know, like,
what's wrong with that? No, I'm just kidding. I also had Dracula Untold, which was surprisingly better than thought it was. This actually wasn't bad. I was surprised that it wasn't, horrible. Because by that time it was getting late and I was like, all right, we'll do Dracula. And I was just walking through Dracula. I'm like, all right, this is kind of creepy. It scared me a few times and, you know, people jumped out and stuff. But I wish they just made Silent Hill a staple. every year because the Silent Hill one they did a couple years back was so damn great. I mean, I pull it out every time. It's like they followed the movie, they added some things, but they had all the creatures from it, and Pyramid Head was there, and it was the sound design was there. It was just all so brilliant, and I just wish they kept doing it.
I really wish that I had made it to that one, but I wasn't living in Florida at the time, and wasn't able to visit, you know. We made a trip to this one, but the special Orlando one that we had this year was Michael Myers Halloween, and I did not get to go to that one. That's pretty much the only thing I was sorry I missed. Other than Bill and Ted's Excellent Movie Review, I can't believe I let us leave without seeing it, but we just never got the timing right for it because that's such a great show. And they've been doing that ever since it opened. I mean, it's so much fun. Bill and Ted, these actors that play Bill and Ted that aren't, you know, the original, of course, come out and do a spoof movie review for the year, and it's always just a hoot.
Yeah.
It's just a hoot, and I miss it.
At this point, though, I'm sure the young kids in the audience, who are these Bill and Ted people?
Wild Stallions.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Anyway, that was Halloween.
Now, the only the Universal Harry Potter thing, the one thing that I keep hearing, you know, I've only heard one person talk about this, and that's the Hogwarts Express train ride. And I think it must be so deceiving looking because everyone, like including you when you mentioned it, I don't think anyone realizes there's a lot of interactivity in it. And it's an actual ride. And because everyone
Transit. Yeah, we just thought it was transit. So we skipped it because we're like, well, we don't want to do that right yet, you know?
Yeah. And I hear it from the one person I did know who wrote it said, like, they're in there and outside, but you could see, like, Harry and
you're in a train going from one park to another for people who don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's you're going from either Universal or Islands of Adventure to the other place, and it's dressed as the Harry Potter, you know, Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, and to me, it probably looks like the train that you see in Disney, you know, that doesn't look like anything special, you know, like the Lazy Man ride or something. And then, but apparently there's, like, on the screens, you see the car flying into the Whomping Willow, like...
That's awesome.
And then you see shadows of, because you're in a compartment, and you see shadows on the outside of you know, the lady coming by with the food cart, and, Harry and Hermione looking in to see if there's room in your place, you know, to sit down. And so there's all this interactive stuff. And I was like, wow, that sounds really cool. So, but it seems like it's a big secret because when I looked it up online, I don't even see any info on it, you know? So
yeah.
Like probably
well, I think another reason they probably don't talk about it quite so much, or maybe not other people who review it talk about it a lot, is because you have to have the two-part pass to do that because you're going from one park to the other. Okay. You know, which, I mean, we didn't even realize what it was. We thought it was like another ride, but it was so like hidden and in the corner. You know, it was one of those things where the whole Diagon Alley is very much like Harry Potter, where you all of a sudden you're walking in Universal and then you'll just start seeing some things that look like London. Like there'll be a telephone booth and a couple of Union Jack flags or something. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't scream Harry Potter at all. It just is like, oh, and here's the British section. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you kind of have to walk into the wall like he does in the movie. Like we passed by it at first and we're like, wait a minute, it's here. I know it's here. You know, like,
oh, that's cool.
It has to be here. And we had to kind of double back and find where the entrance was. And you're kind of going into this big brick entrance. And then once you walk in, then your whole view is filled with Diagon Alley. So it looks like you really do enter into a whole nother world.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No, Harry Potter. It was very dynamic, very, very
cool. That's cool. They fixed it because before it was just when you walked in, it was just the main gate and then that's it. You know, you're in Harry Potter land, but
Was Islands of Adventure. And I think that you must have come in from the back way because if you come in from the front way from Islands of Adventure, it does the same thing where, yes, you're walking into the island, but everything you see, if you're turning your head, it looks like that goes on for a long time. I really think you went in the opposite way.
Ah. Well, there was construction going on, too, because they were building the new park, so they may have... They didn't give two craps about it. Yeah, whatever. You know, you come back. The people next year will get to enjoy it. You get to see the walls, you know.
Well, they got to do something. What are you
gonna do? Yeah, I know. But cool. Well, it sounds like a good Halloween was had by all.
Yes, that was Halloween.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But did you guys watch any Halloween movies that you got to see for the first time? I got to see I Saw the Devil, which is this fantastic, I want to say, Korean film.
Yes, Korean. Mm-hmm.
It's awesome because it's got the guy who originally plays Old Boy, you know, Oh Dae-soo, and it's got the guy who plays the villain in, well, the villain turned hero in Red 2, and I don't know that actor's name, but I really do like him. Mm-hmm. He's also, I think, in G.I. Joe as Storm Shadow.
Is that him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool, cool.
I really do like him, but it's this great revenge flick where, you know, this Secret Service agent is trying to, you know, exact revenge on someone who murdered a loved one. And instead of it being a I caught you and I brought you to justice kind of film, it kind of seems like it's going to be over in 30 minutes because we're like, oh, okay, cool, you found the guy. It ends up being this very torturous, twisted movie that's, you know, if you like twisted Korean revenge flicks, this will be perfect for you. But the whole point is the Secret Service guy wants to make this criminal feel the way that the pain that he feels and, like, you know, this person's family feels that he took from them. So it just ends up being this very, very twisted look at how far you're willing to go to exact, you know, justice, and what is justice, and what is just, you know, being a sadist. So
yeah, it's pretty brutal.
It's on Netflix. I Saw the Devil. I definitely recommend it for anybody who's into the twisted, you know, Old Boy type films.
What did I see? Yeah, you know, I was looking for a good Halloween movie on Netflix because they did add a lot of stuff, and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We ended up watching Good Will Hunting, which that's a good Halloween film. It, you know, really shows you the horror of the world and psychosis. And we ended up actually did watching Good Will Hunting, which is so funny. And I was thinking to myself because I was going through all the movies on there, what a shitty poster Good Will Hunting has. Have you ever seen the poster for that movie?
The one with them on the bench?
Yeah, it's Matt Damon and them sitting on a bench, and it looks like, you know, a buddy comedy, you know, mm-hmm. movie, like not at all what it's going to be about. It just looks like this crappy movie that you probably think, oh, Robin Williams made a bad movie. You know, it doesn't look like a good film, but
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I put on so many horror films or so many, like, you know, Halloween theme kind of, you know, films. I Saw the Devil. Actually, I have to say, I was surprised was on the horror genre because it didn't, I mean, yeah, it seems like a horror film, but not really like I was thinking Halloween horror. Mm-hmm. But I saw Your Next. That was okay. Pontypool. That was kind of weird. What else? The remake of Carrie I finally saw, which was much better than I thought it was going to be, actually. Julianne Moore did a great job as the crazy mother in Carrie.
Oh, that's on Netflix right now? Yes. I didn't even know that was on.
Yeah, they just recently mm-hmm. put it there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I did see Steamcatcher. I just blanked on the name. The Chris Evans film.
Snowpiercer.
Steamcatcher. Listen to me.
Steamcatcher.
Oh, representing your parents sequel. On the podcast will be Rich Caban tonight.
That's so funny.
I thought it's Steamcatcher starring the Captain America guy.
Yeah, Captain Britain, the Steamcatcher.
Captain Britain.
Yeah.
Captain Britain's a cool guy.
I know, yeah. He tries.
It's Psylocke's brother. You know, that's really the coolest thing about him. Is his sister is Psylocke. That's too bad.
Well, speaking of Psylocke, that, you know, I forgot that I saw the trailer for Avengers, the trailer for Avengers was released, actually.
Yeah, Age of Ultron. So exciting.
That looks really, really good. Like, I'm.
And what a great trailer. I mean, that was masterful.
Yeah.
I have to say, I got tingles.
Masterful. It was. I like the use of the Pinocchio. That was such a interesting.
Oh yeah.
Way to go.
And so overt, though, I thought, because I mean, I'm like because he actually quotes it. You're like, Ultron actually is quoting it, and that I thought was very strange, but worked. You know.
Yeah.
The mechanical nose should have grown too.
Oh, did I lie?
Now, did anyone see the extended trailer, like with the clip of of the Avengers around the Thor's hammer trying to pick it up?
Yeah, I like Captain America picks it up and it slightly moves, and and what's his name Thor gets a little nervous for a second.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, again, I didn't read the story arc, but apparently Cap does use the hammer in the comics at some point.
Oh, really?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I did see another clip between, it was up and then it was down really fast, between Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man and Captain America, where the seeds of Civil War are already kind of starting. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's title of Captain America 3, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it there was a conversation they were having that definitely, I've seen that conversation in the comics. So it was, and they were out, I don't know where they were in the woods, and it was funny because Captain America was chopping wood, and then he's getting so mad that he takes a piece of the wood and just breaks it in half rather than chopping it. So while they're talking, you know, it's getting a little bit heated.
Yeah, you can see the elevation.
Yeah, so that's
escalation.
That looked cool. And then what I also like too is they I saw this whole package where they also showed a clip from Agent Carter.
They showed his package?
Yeah, they showed his package, which I was kind of surprised about. And it was the Hulk's package first. Then no, I was kidding. No, they had this whole thing where they showed I guess Agent Carter, and they showed Tony Stark's dad is obviously in it, but they showed showed Jarvis, who is his butler, and Jarvis kind of sounds like what's his name, Paul Bettany, a little bit. So it's kind of cool that they're tying in the real origin of Jarvis with the old
That's cool.
Time.
I didn't see that.
So it's kind
of very
cool.
Awesome.
So I guess
they really are making that universe like completely
complete. Yeah,
that's pretty freaking awesome. I wish I could catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else. Like so damn behind. It sucks.
It's better this year.
It is. It actually.
No, I'm not saying that it's the show sucks.
I know.
I'm so behind. Yeah,
I got you.
Crazy.
We got you. It's interesting though. One of the things that some people that I've been talking to are a little curious about and a little wary of is how much they're teasing Thanos. You know, I mean, they're really dancing around Thanos and stretching out that storyline very, very far. Because, I mean, if you look at the schedule that they released, Infinity War is split into two films after Avengers 2 comes out.
Yeah. Right.
So, and I mean, he's always mentioned in all these other films or, you know, teased in all these other films. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, are they going to, I don't know, spoil people's appetite for that? You know, like,
well, I think they can set him up.
They're setting him up. Yeah. Like what she's about to say, because like, if you think about it, it's like, I guess the Infinity Gauntlet happened after you've known Thanos was a character for a while. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like they're getting people to know this character so that it's not just some big bad coming again. It's like, you get to see this guy, you know, collect himself to become this ultra powerful being that's going to use this, you know, gauntlet to take, you know, alter, what is it? It basically alters reality, doesn't it? Doesn't it like, I forget what the Infinity Gauntlet does. I read the comic book a while ago.
To be honest with you, it's funny because I collected all of those, but I never read all of them. I have the original comics, but I remember I left them in there in the plastic. You know, I never took them out.
I think after Avengers, I read like digital versions of them, and I was just like, oh, I gotta find out what this guy is. And I just read the comics, you know, it was just like 3 years ago, so I don't remember.
I mean, a lot of the Thanos stuff I read was already kind of like, you know, he was already in that mode where, I don't like any of you, but I'll be forced to work with you now, so let's work together, you know, kind of storylines, you know. So, but seeing the Inhumans on there, it tells me that they're really, you know, working the Thanos storyline. Like, they're really going to set him up to the point where...
See, I never read any Inhumans, but I've heard nothing but great things about that. And I know one of the writers, at least in the early stages for that comic, was Paul Jenkins. And he's, you know, very, very beloved by by fanboys and girls everywhere, you know.
Well,
so
Neil Gaiman wrote some of it, too.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all love him.
Yeah. Which is cool. But
exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. But I still have to say, hands down, okay, we have Gotham. I'm still watching Arrow. I'm not caught up to this season, but I know it gets better. And not that it's bad, but I just know that it's going to get more online. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But hands down, to me, the best TV adaptation of any superhero ever on a television show is The Flash. I've never seen a show.
I think I'm an episode behind, but it's really good so far.
Yeah, every episode, it's like, wow, smart way to introduce this, smart way to introduce that, and then everything they're doing with the story, it's so easy that it's a parallel universe or something else because of the way the story is being told and because of the references they're making. But they're doing it in such a way that they're not getting. I'm not saying the show's a parallel. I mean, like, for anybody who's a real big fan of the comic book, they can see that this could be construed as one timeline. But then anyone who's not, they can still enjoy this as a really well done superhero show. And the fact that
they're learning from their mistakes. I mean, think about it. They've had enough superhero shows, hits and misses, you know, where they can really pull from what works. And if people are smart about it, then they make a better show, which is what's obviously happening here in your perspective.
Yeah. I think getting Geoff Johns to really write this, you know, cause he's written almost every episode so far. But what I thought was so funny was they had one character from Arrow, appear. What's her, the blonde girl who's the
Felicity Smoke.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, everyone kind of looks rather normal in the Flash series. Mm-hmm. And here comes the supermodel with her stilettos all of a sudden. You know, like,
well, I know. Who's, again, supposed to be the nerdy one. I know.
Yeah, the nerdy one. Yeah. She was pretty.
The misfit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She walked the runway down, the nerdy runway, I guess. But and even that was handled fine, but I got to say, Dave, I don't know if you've caught any of it. It's just such a great show, to the point where I'm actually disappointed that they didn't cast this kid as the Flash in the movie. Like, I almost think it's too bad they didn't just say, "Okay, we're just going to use this continuity," because it's so it would be so perfect in line with everything else that they're doing. You know?
Well, I've been recording him, and my stepson's been watching him. He loves it. So I need to watch him. I'll have to just sit down one day and muscle through him. Cause I mean, I definitely want to see it. It looks really fun. And, kind of gives me, cause I had fun watching Smallville. You know what I mean? It was like one of those shows where it was just like, you know, they pay you some fan service and they, you know, and they make the shows exciting and the dialogue and the kids are fun or whatever. So, and it just, it looks like a fun show to watch. So
I think I like is it's not even like, cause I always felt I definitely felt the word fan service kind of really permeated that show towards the end, because they were always like, here he is in the costume. No, he's not. It's like that kind of thing where the Flash is like, you know, fuck all that shit. This is the story, you know, and they're just, you know, it's the Flash right from the beginning. They're not trying to like, they're just trying to tell a good story. And it's like, finally, you know, somebody not worrying about, you know, this and that. They're just actually taking the character and just making him the Flash and then just telling his story. I'm like, oh, nice to see that on TV for a change.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Excitement.
But I'm way behind in Gotham. That's the one I haven't, I've seen the first three episodes, but I haven't, I'm a little behind on that. I don't know if you guys are still keeping up.
You don't know what's going on with Fish Mooney?
Yeah. Yeah. The Fish Mooney story.
No, I haven't watched the show at all. Not that I'm not interested. I just, again, I need to get back into some of these shows. It's crazy. So many shows. You said it last podcast. There's like 3 million shows out. It's like, how do you stay in touch with all of it? I don't know.
There's no way.
I don't know how they expect us to do it. They just want us to sit in front of our TVs the rest of our lives, which I can't do.
Yeah, no, I saw a trailer for a new show coming on called I'm going to get the show name wrong. I think it's Galahan or Gallant. I think it's called Gallant. And I was watching it because it was tied in with Agent Carter, like, just because it was, you know, you had to watch one to see the other. And it looked like the typical, I was like, oh, this looks boring, where it was like taking place during medieval times. And you know, this lady's like, I need your help, Gallant, you know. And then all of a sudden they broke into song. And I'm like, what?
And then you're like, sold.
Yeah, well, I still was kind of like, this is weird. And then it said, from the writer of Crazy Stupid Love and Alan Menken, you know, like the Disney guru. And then it was all just a straight out, like, it looked like something that Family Guy. Seth MacFarlane would have done. It doesn't look like...
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen any...
Did we talk about Constantine? Did you guys see the pilot for that?
I haven't seen it, no.
I watched the pilot for that, actually. And yeah, I actually liked it. It seemed a little... I don't know, what's the word? Small? Like, it seemed like it could have been a little bit bigger as far as... it just felt a little claustrophobic. Like, it focused on a few people, and it just felt like these people were in a soundstage and nobody else was there. But that being said, I like him a lot. I think he's good as a character. I like the story. I was really intrigued by the story. I watched the whole episode and I really enjoyed it. And I'm hoping that it gets bigger, and I hope people kind of like it, because I really like John Constantine. I like the story. I read a few of the comics. I love that he's tied into Sandman and all that other stuff. So I really want to see this world expand and grow, because I do like the Vertigo side of the DC comic stuff.
Has there been more than one episode on, or is it?
Yeah, I think they're on their third episode this week.
I think it's a Friday night show. I only saw the pilot. I didn't get a chance to see the other ones yet. Because, again, there's a million things.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm wondering if the reason it felt – I didn't see it, but the reason it felt small is because I remember this was like a last-minute addition, you know?
Right,
and it came out of nowhere. So I'm wondering if they didn't put much money in the pilot.
But I liked the sets and the effects were good. I mean, honestly, I really liked when he went downstairs into, what is it, Jameson's place that had the cool atmosphere. But I think they were just smart about how they were spending their money. I mean, not everything has to be a big budget thing. I prefer that it's not.
True. True. And it made it more personal. I just felt like nobody else inhabited that world. That was my problem with it. Like, there's just a few people, and there's no bystanders or anything like that. That's my. It's not even a problem. That's what the show felt like. I really, like I said, I liked it. I'm definitely gonna watch the next one.
It felt like Batman. Batman Returns, where it was like a road show. The seven people in Gotham. You know,
pretty much. But I mean, again, the story moved at a really, like, it was moved really quick. I was never bored, and I loved the there were certain little, you know, things here and there. I think there was a Dr. Fate helmet there too, if I'm not mistaken.
There was.
Oh wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some other stuff that I thought was really neat. But I mean, I'm sure there was more for people who actually read comics more than I ever did. But I still, like I said, having read the Constantine comics and really getting into that character and being, you know, disappointed in the Keanu Reeves rendition, even though I love a lot of aspects of that movie, but I don't like the fact that it's...
I liked that movie because I hadn't read the comic, so I didn't have to have it live up to anything.
Right.
But I'm really excited now that I know more about the comic to see this.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I'm definitely the reason I sat and watched that one was because I was in Halloween mood and I wanted to watch something creepy, and there were some pretty decent scares in it. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a decent horror show. You know, for what they were doing and stuff, there were some creepy elements in it and a couple of jump scares that got me. I was like, oh shit. Really? It made me giggle. I was like, that's pretty good. So, you know, for a TV show to do that for me is pretty pretty awesome, although I don't watch The Walking Dead, so I'm sure there's plenty of that in that too. So.
Yeah, but a lot of The Walking Dead scares, like, the I don't know, they're more subtle because they are trying to focus on the drama more than the horror. Yeah. So,
I think what does scare you is more the horrificness of an event.
What people can do.
Yeah.
I think it's really what... It's not so much the jolts.
Yeah,
even though
they're
there sometimes, but they're kind of almost expected. They're just like, meh. They don't really focus on that. They don't hype that anymore. Switching gears a little bit, just because we have so much to talk about and I want to make sure I get this in. I have been playing the shit out of Alien Isolation, and it is so good, you guys. It is so good. And I know that there's been a lot of mixed reviews. I think, Dave, you even mentioned some people were saying, what were you saying their negative feedback was?
There's negative feedback saying that it's like it's not scary because all you have to do is hide, and there's no, you go into a room, you hide. You go into another room, you hide. And the tension, the fact is that the game is a little too long so that it ends up you end up getting tired of hiding. And I'm just like, well,
it is very long, and there is a lot of hiding, but that's the whole point of the universe.
That's the whole point of the universe. Yeah, that's the game. And you know, because people want, you know, they want to shoot things and you know,
well, they
whatever.
Can go ahead and get their used copies of Colonial Marines for $2.99 and be happy with it. I am so thrilled about Alien Isolation. The world that they have created is stunning. It is
that's awesome.
Stunning. I have it for PS4, and I know that, you know, it's available for PC and also Xbox, right? Xbox One?
Yeah.
So it's multi-platform, so anywhere you can get it, it's going to be stunning. The ship that you're spending most of your time on is basically a sister type ship to the Nostromo, which is what Alien, the first Ridley Scott Alien, was filmed on, you know, like in Ruth Ripley and her crew and everything. So you have that familiarity, and they really nail all of the details of, you know, how the rooms are set up and the Foley. I mean, the sound design is wonderful, because you have not only just the signature sound of like the, what do you call it? The motion tracker, which you have, which is awesome. But like, not only do you have that, but you also even have the way the computers make sounds, and the way, you know, the score comes along with the alien, and it's so intense and so interesting. And the fact that you're playing Ripley's daughter trying to find out what happened to her mother, you know, she's basically in search of the black box for the Nostromo, is great. And there's a lot of other threats on the station, not just the alien, so it's not completely boring, because you do get some combat, whereas the alien, there's no combat with the alien. The alien finds you when you die. You know, like that's, I have died so many times. Like, it's not even funny. But every single time I die, it's still scary. Like, it's still like, oh, how did he hear me? You know, like, how did he see me? Like, oh my God. And it's never the same thing twice. You know, if that's I die, cool. And, you know, restart an area, it's all so intuitive. Like, it hears every little different step you take. And I mean, if you're hiding in a locker or something, you can lean back and hold your breath, you know, and he's like sniffing at the front of the locker and you can see him and you're like, oh my God, it's just so intense. And again, the sound design and the score have a lot to do with it, but it's just so beautiful. And if you are okay with slow paced games, then you'll love it. If you are only interested in, you know, first person shooters where you just want to, you know, shoot stuff up, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but then no, you won't, you know, you won't like this game as much. But for anybody who's really
Aliens Hide and Seek Edition or something like that.
Yes, pretty much so. But yeah, anybody who's interested in really having that film experience, I mean, even when the little circular like vents open, that little, I can't do it. Like the same noise as the movie comes out, and you're like, no, Tom, scare it, don't go down that way. You know, like, it's awesome. It's so, so great. I'm just having the biggest blast. And you get to construct IEDs. You know, you get to loot. You get to do fun things that are very similar to games like Fallout, where you can make your own weapons and use them to distract. But you have to be very careful, because even if you're fighting a human or fighting an android on the station, the more noise you make, it attracts the alien. So you might not even be in an area that you think you have to worry about, but if you're making noise, all of a sudden you've got a whole nother threat to deal with. So it's really, really got a lot of layers and a lot of very compelling storytelling. You know, I'm so there. I'm so with it. I want to call out tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Well, it's good that they finally did a good game, you know, after all these chances. Mm-hmm. When you were talking about though, it reminded me of, have you guys ever watched Portlandia at all?
No.
You've heard of it though, right? The Fred Armisen show. There was one episode where, you know, these people are in a hide and seek league and they take it very seriously and they hide in the library and people are really annoyed by them. But what was so funny is there's one point where it's already done and somebody's walking by a table and one of the hide-and-seekers is under the table, and they just pan down to his pants, and he's pissing himself because somebody just walked by just to see him. Just this just reminded me.
Well, you feel like that.
I can imagine, know? Yeah.
You really do, because it's intense. And you also, I mean, even with the motion tracker that you have, you can't use it when the alien's around because it's drawn to that sound. You know, like all of these different things that you have to be so thoughtful about that you don't have to be thoughtful about in other games. And I think you hit the nail on the head where it's finally the game that, you know, the fans deserve, because we've gone through so many. And I really think they delivered on this one. We've awesome. Gone through so many bad incarnations. So yeah, like, I definitely like recommend.
It's like getting Arkham, you know, after all those bad Batman games over the years, mm-hmm. you know.
So right, it absolutely.
Like they finally got it right.
Same thing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I heard that you can, if you have the PC version and you have one of those Oculus Rift development kits, you can hack it so that you can actually play it with the Oculus Rift and actually... you know, see the world in three dimensions. And
that's very actually, cool.
And they say that it's like the most terrifying experience you could ever have because, you know, when the alien sees you, it's just like it's right in your face.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's terrifying.
I believe it because it's horrifying 8 feet away from me. So
thanks to the movie Brainstorm, I won't ever be doing anything like that because that movie scared the hell out of me with that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I know I will talk about this forever, so I'm going to stop soon, I promise. But there's even like levels in it and different aspects of it where you are in the space suit that they're in, like when they first find the alien eggs and everything on LV-427 or 426. And you get the experience of walking in that atmosphere with all of the soot and like whatever it is flying around in the air and going into the derelict spaceship and seeing That's the awesome. Space jockey. I mean, and it's not as Amanda Ripley, but you still get to see that through your gaming eyes, you know, in a very smart storytelling way. Really, I just can't tell you how satisfying it is as a huge fan of the franchise. I'm just like, oh, I love it.
By the way, did anyone get to play that Infinity, the Avengers thing at all? Or
No. I see it in stores, though, and I'm like, I kind of want it. I even asked the boys if any of them wanted it. They're like, no. I'm
like, come on. That's like a baby's toy, right?
Oh, my God. It looks so neat. It just looks
like
a fun...
I haven't seen anything about it, actually. I haven't really been watching TV to see commercials.
I saw all the figures. I was at Best Buy today, and they had every single figure there, and I did see...
Oh, it's got figures with it?
Well, you have to add on the... Like, it comes with the... it comes with Thor, Captain America, Black Widow, but then you have to buy the extra characters to add into the game, like Rocket Raccoon or the Guardians, the rest of the Guardians, Thor, Nick Fury. But I saw all of them there, and I'm like, you know, I don't have. I saw it is there for PS3, but
the collector in you is like, I could own the complete set.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I remember too when my nieces were down and they were playing, like, and. And just the way the characters would pop into the game, like when you would change them, you know, I was like that. I just thought that was so cool, and I like that whole idea. And that's why I'm like, I want to know if the gameplay is worth it, you know, like if it's something to invest in. But I don't think it's that expensive, right? Isn't it like $50 or $60 or something like that?
I don't know. I do kind of.
Yeah, but it's probably $50 or $60, and then you have to buy all of the other characters.
Yeah,
like that thing.
Yeah, the other characters, $13.99 each. By the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know.
But mommy, I can't finish the game.
South Park just did a show about like the app games like for your cell phone that are free but that are specifically designed to make you spend money to speed the game up and to unlock different areas and make you feel good about yourself while unwittingly spending, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to add up on your cell phone bill and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought that was very
appropriate. Who would do something like that? They buy fake money. We shouldn't even talk about that anymore because it's just such a, I don't think anybody, the idea that you would, okay, I've done it many times.
I know. It's like, this is way.
Yeah. I've done it many times, and I hate the myself. But there's sometimes you're stuck on a level, and you're like, I'm one thing away from it. And then you're like, if you hit continue, and it's only 99 cents, and you're like, okay, I'll do it this one time, you know, and then... I know.
I have a monster game that I play, and I never spend any money. I always promised myself I would never spend any money. But then they came out with a specific Halloween pumpkin head skeleton monster, and I was like, okay, well, I have to have that. Yeah. So that's the one allowance I've given myself.
I for the longest time, I was playing – this is how gay I am – The Wicked, the musical, it's like, it's basically Candy Express or whatever, the candy one
candy
I used to,
Crush. Candy Crush. Oh, my Crush. God.
But it's Wicked based, right? It's what's so embarrassing, too, is the only way I can get through certain parts is I have to add on Facebook and say, yes, I'm playing this game in order to get further.
Oh, no.
So I thought they made you sing into the phone.
Oh, no, God. Could you imagine? You might as well. I would
hit a C sharp and you can continue. Yeah. Like,
that would have taken ingenuity. No, they just stuck Candy Crush and just put witch and green and all that stuff. But currently,
well, speaking of witches, though, I'm sorry to get off topic.
No,
but did you see the latest Into the Woods trailer that actually has, you know, singing in it?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah. It looks
exciting.
Good. Looks good.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I am very wary because it is my favorite musical, and so it's, you know, I got a lot to live up to, and it seems like they're taking a very interesting spin on it, but I'm trying not to, you know, as with every kind of remake and everything, I really try not to walk in with a chip on my shoulder, even though I want to, you know, like, you're ruining everything, and Bernadette Peters is a queen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Everything looks like it's there, though. I was kind of surprised, like, like the one part, I hate to speak in shadows, but I don't want to ruin the show for anyone. But the one part that everyone was complaining might not be there, I think I saw it in that trailer.
Yeah, between the baker and the prince.
Yeah, yeah.
The baker's wife and the prince, I should say.
The other thing I had seen this making of, where Johnny Depp, again, I don't know why in the show it's a wolf, like he's playing the wolf from Little Red Riding Hood. And in this version, he looks like, you know, he walked out of a Bob Fosse musical, you know, playing.
Yeah.
But then there seems like he turns
into... He's got a zoot suit on.
Yeah, he's got a zoot suit, and I'm like, that's not really a wolf. But it looks like he turns into a werewolf, though. Did you see that clip?
Maybe.
Yeah, there was a scene where you saw this wolf howling at the moon, and it looked that's what they did in order to not
I didn't
have
make
makeup.
That connection.
Yeah.
I think I was kind of watching without watching. You know how you sometimes do that? You're like you're like watching something but your mind's on something else.
I know, like when I watched clips, illegal clips from Star Wars that they put up for 5 seconds and I'm like, I'm not seeing this, but I'm looking with one eye, you know, and I saw an interesting clip of Mark Hamill revealing himself on that sounded terrible.
Oh my gosh.
Mark Hamill, he's walking up to a statue in cloak, and then he brings down the cloak, and it's, you see the beard, his beard, and you see it's him. And
Are you talking about Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens?
The Force Awakens, yes.
I still was trying to decide whether or not you were talking about his face or not.
No.
it was his lightsaber.
he brings down his cloak, and you start to see his beard, and I'm like, wait a minute, what beard?
Yeah, he's.
This is what you get for trying to talk in shadows.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I saw the actual scene, and I was like, "Wow, that looks like a movie." Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just ideas and thoughts and what it could be. But that was a scene that looked like something was happening. You know, it was exciting looking. But every time I hear the title, The Force Awakens, I just think I'll always think of Tony waking up during
Dune. The sleeper has awakened.
Yeah.
No one is getting that.
any podcast listener who has listened to the last podcast or the last, what was it, two podcasts ago when we told the story about Tony and waking up during Dune? You remember?
Oh, I do remember.
Yes.
I didn't listen to those podcasts. Sorry.
Of course not. Like, we have a listener out there who's like, wait, in episode 13, when somebody knows. But
that's funny.
Yeah, I think Dave, right? It's one of those titles where it sounds like it sounds weird now, but it'll be like the Phantom Menace, that it, this doesn't sound weird anymore at some point.
No,
right?
It's going to be fine. I'm excited of Star Wars movies coming out. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. The new Hobbit trailer came out too. I got to see that, which looks amazing.
Watch that today. Yes, it looks
very
beautiful.
Exciting.
Yeah, and this week the Hobbit extended edition came out too for the Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah, long wait on that one.
Yeah. So, although it's,
but it's all good.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see it.
So, I actually wanted to talk about something I got to do. It's kind of neat. I went to a thing at the Alamo Draft House. I saw five movies. Wow. No, I saw five movies. I thought I was going to see four. There was this thing called East Meets Weird. It was just basically a celebration of weird Japanese cinema leading up to the premiere of a movie that actually comes out tomorrow in theaters and also on demand called Why Don't You Play in Hell? It's by a director named Sion Sono. He's a Japanese director that does really bizarre but wonderful movies. One of my favorite movies that he's done is a movie called Love Exposure, which is just a tour de force of emotion and action and everything. It's 4 hours long and it's amazing. I loved every second of it. It captivates you from beginning to end. He also did a movie back when, you know, the Japanese boom was happening in America, one called Suicide Club. I don't know if any of you have seen that, which is very bizarre. That came out around the same time as like Battle Royale and all that other stuff when they started releasing those movies in America. But, anyway, this movie, Why Don't You Play in Hell, is his latest one. And it's one of those movies that you watch and, either completely annoys you or completely makes you fall in love with Japanese movies again, where it's just like there's the crazy action and the crazy storytelling, but there's so much heart. And this movie, believe it or not, is about filmmaking. It's about these guys who love this guy who loves making movies so much, as a crew of like four people, and they started making movies as teenagers and they want to make the ultimate movie, and they get the opportunity to make the ultimate movie by filming a real life Yakuza battle. So it sounds like a ridiculous premise, and it is completely ridiculous, but the way the movie plays it out, it's so fun and exciting and bloody and hysterical. You're laughing the whole movie. It's just a fun time at the movies, and it's a love letter to, you know, just basically amateur filmmaking and making films. It wants to inspire you, just like it's telling you, even if you make one shitty movie, just make a movie, just do something, just have something. So it was just really, really fun. But all the movies that led up to it were all different crazy Japanese films. They decided to kind of show you the craziness of all of the Japanese cinema starting from the 60s. Watched a movie called Killers on Parade, and that, which was a 60s style of, you know, kind of, you know, swinging movie about eight killers and stuff. It was fun. Whatever. I can't really describe it. And then there was a 70s movie called The Body Snatcher from Hell, which was a different movie, but they called it Body Snatchers from Hell so that they could tie it in with a double feature with the Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 70s remake. And that was pretty ridiculous. It has some of the most ridiculous lines I've ever seen, and it was just like a fun, you know, shitty 70s horror film. And then for the 80s, they did a thing called The School in the Crosshairs, which was like kind of like a Sailor Moon-esque type of film, little schoolgirl who has powers, but it's like, it's definitely 80s. It's a nice little time capsule. It's very hokey and fun, but some really fun characters in it and stuff. It's not a great movie, but it was definitely trippy and fun to watch. And then for
wait, this is all in one day?
All in one day. I was sitting in the theater for like 10 hours. I thought I was going to see four movies, and they're like, oh, so we're about two-fifths through. And I'm like, two-fifths? What are you talking about? But so
you
then
get home, and they're like, Dave, what language were you speaking? We don't understand what you're saying anymore.
Well, yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. And then the fourth movie that I got to see, which, you know, I love, Richie's seen it, Jackie's seen it, is the happiness of the Katakuris.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't tell you about the movies before they showed them. They just played them. And when they came on, I'm like, I get to see this on the big screen. I'm so excited. It was so fun. And the sound is great in that movie. And the music is so fun. And I just had a smile that whole movie. My cheeks hurt. Because it just makes me laugh. And it's just Takashi Miike doing like just amazing work. I love his movies. His movies are hit and miss, but that movie just makes me so happy every time I see it. So that was a fun.
One of the directors that more than anyone else I know, and I'm sure that there are more out there, but doesn't he come out with like 4 or 5 movies a year or something?
He shits him out. Like, he just doesn't.
Yeah, he really does. And, I mean, I love him. He's one of my all-time favorite directors, but he puts out a lot of bad films.
It's just the ones that are good. It's like Woody Allen, you know,
the ones that are good are, like, so good. I mean, and for most people who love horror, you'll recognize titles like Ichi the Killer and Audition and Visitor Q, the Dead or Alive series. I mean, there's so many really, really great films that he's put out.
Yeah.
And this one is just such a little nugget of gold because it's a black comedy. But, I mean, anybody who is up for something quirky, like, I can't recommend it enough. Love it or hate it, though. Definitely it's not for everybody because it's so out there. But, man, I love it.
And it's a musical, so it's like, but yeah, that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. So that was like a nice experience. That was like an, it was really, I felt very fortunate to be able to see that. Cause it was one of the first ones that, like, after getting like Ichi the Killer and seeing Audition, it's like, then you see this one, it's like, what can this guy not do? He's done just about every genre, there is. Yeah, so, and he
I feel like sometimes when I watch his movies, I think of, you say Happiness of the Katakuris, but like, what is it? The Katamari Damacy, the video game where you're the little prince and you roll up everything. Anytime you roll up a human and it's like the guy that's like waving his arms and legs and it's just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
That's my impression for watching a Takashi Miike film. You're just rolled up. just rolled up in this world that he's created.
But yeah, so they finished up with Why Don't You Play in Hell? And it'll be on demand. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it will be on demand, so you can like watch it on at home. If you can't get to a theater that plays it, is definitely worth a watch. It's a fun time.
That's cool.
I can't recommend it highly.
I just think it was a weird choice to end the whole thing with Police Academy 4 Citizens on Patrol, though. Like, what do you do if that's like in the middle? Like, do you stick around or do you?
I know, right? Yeah, I know. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a hard day. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, doing that for the Avengers, you know,
right.
You kind of knew what was coming, but I can't imagine.
I did that for the Avengers, but I did it in the comfort of my own home where I was able to like pause and go get food and, you know, like, do what I needed to do.
Yeah. Cause I think I was revved by the idea that I was going to get to see Avengers. Like, that was going to be something amazing.
Right.
But I don't know if I could do that for the unknown like that. Cause I know I've sat through film festivals where I'm like, okay, come on, let's go. You know what I mean? Like where you're watching other, you know, you're at a film festival and you're seeing stuff you've never seen before.
Well, my thing was that I knew I was going to see. So even if it was something that I had already seen before, it was just the joy of seeing, cause I'm so used to watching these kind of movies at home without an audience. And it's like, I was kind of jazzed for that. Aspect.
That's true. What was the audience like? I've never even thought about that because I always watch those movies at home by myself.
Right. And it's like, you know,
or like with one other person. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was an audience of fans. You know, we all paid money to go see this, you know, Japanese fest. So you get the typical types. You know, I'm kind of antisocial. So when it comes to that kind of stuff, you know, I don't like when people are a little too fanboyish, when they're super vocal and they think that the guy who's running the show is having a personal conversation with them when he asks questions and they're sitting there answering him. And I'm like, dude, he can't hear you.
Why? I know. I hate that. I hate that so much.
I'm like, could you please just shut up? Or if, you know, they laugh a little too loud.
Yeah. I get this reference because I know it. You guys don't. It's like, yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, come on. But other than that, it was good to see something that a movie that I like, especially Happiness of the Katakuri, or even any of these movies, they were fun to watch, and it's like to have an audience that's enthusiastic about it and laughs at it, and, or you know, reacts to it. It's a fun thing, especially Why Don't You Play in Hell, because that was kind of like some people were seeing it for the first time, so the reactions were genuine, and it's definitely a crowd pleaser, and it's fun to see a movie like that with a crowd. And what you were talking about, the Avengers, I think also part of that was, I mean, you could feel the energy of everybody, like, anticipating the movie coming out. Every time a movie finished, like, you know, when Incredible Hulk finished or when Thor finished or whatever, people just started clapping and like, you know, cheering, like, woo, we're almost there, oh my God. And then when the movie finally starts, you're just like cheering when you see the Avengers logo and all that other stuff. It was such a great time. That was almost as good as the time we saw Back to the Future.
Good time.
Yeah, good. Mark Wahlberg is now going to be in a movie based off of one of my favorite TV shows when I was a kid. They're going to make the $6 million man. He's going to be the $6 million man.
Are you serious?
Wow.
It's going to be the $6 billion man.
What are you trying to tell me? I made a money? Like, I made a lead? Like, I don't understand.
Who's doing that? Is it the same people who... Well, I don't know. Who's doing that?
I don't know. I saw the news today.
Here's where it falls apart. If Will Ferrell's playing Oscar Gold, then you know, this is a comedy. I was surprised at that. I had heard of this show, The Equalizer, but I didn't realize that Denzel Washington movie was based on that TV show. Did you guys know that?
No.
I didn't know that.
It was a TV show from like the 80s on CBS, and it was on for a couple of seasons. But actually, Dave, you know what its claim to fame was? Remember where you used to live in the village? They filmed right at that brown door that was at
the corner. That's right.
And they blew the door up. Do you remember that?
Yep, I do remember that.
Yeah, like that's the movie they made with Denzel Washington.
Oh, my God. So Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg, the guy they collaborated on Lone Survivor.
Okay.
So... Two are reteaming for commercial and four-quarter project. Update a $6 million man.
He's a good director. I mean, he did his first film he did was The Rundown with Dwayne Johnson, and then he did Friday Night Lights, the movie. He just did something else. He's done a lot of good movies. He was an actor on Chicago Hope, actually.
That dude. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was not Chicago Hope. It's the other...
Wasn't he in Shocker? He was in Shocker.
He was in Shocker, yes. Yeah.
I'm sure he's happy I remember that.
Yeah. All the movies I worked on, he remembers Shocker, right?
I was a writer-director. So
it was Shocker. Yeah, why did everybody see that? I remember everyone was like, oh, we got to rent Shocker. Like, everybody, then you went to Blockbuster. Oh, no, we're all out of Shocker right now. God damn it. When's that coming in? Like when we watch it, they're like, and it's Mitch Pileggi, the guy from X-Files.
Yep. I don't know. It just, I was excited about it because they hyped the soundtrack because it was like, had all these cool rock bands in it. And then, It was the visual effects looked pretty neat. It was a shitty movie.
I saw it so many times too. Like, I don't even know. Just like that. And I was talking to someone about Monkey Shines the other day. Remember that movie?
I never got to see that movie. I always saw the poster.
I think that's on Netflix now. I recently scrolled by that.
Is it? Oh God. It's a ridiculous movie with a sex scene that's so uncomfortable and long that doesn't belong in that movie. It makes the sex scene in what do you call it? Hey Mark, what's the name of that movie? The bad one.
Oh,
The Room.
The Room. Makes that sex scene look like, you know, like the greatest sex scene ever filmed. Like,
well, hi Mark.
Oh, hi Mark. I was just watching clips from that online because you can't find that movie unless you buy it. Do you? Like, how did you get it, Dave? Did you?
I bought it.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh my God.
Because I was collecting movies in California. When I was living in California, every now and then we would do shitty movie night, and I was collecting movies for it. And I'm like, everybody talks about this movie. Let me just get it. I think it was at Amoeba Records or something. It was pretty cheap. So yeah. I was like, yeah, what the hell? I'll take a chance on it. I'm taking a chance on worse.
Well, now they have the Blu-ray special edition one, which I don't think I need to get it, but... I was watching clips on YouTube, and I forgot... When I saw this clip, I completely forgot about that line where the guy goes, leave your stupid comments in your pockets.
Yep. There's so many great lines in that movie.
Yeah, that book that I'm reading on it is really... I haven't gotten to finish it because it's been so busy, but it's a really...
Oh, it's a great read.
The Disaster Artist, such a... If you really want to read about movie making at its worst, that's definitely one to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Smasheroni. So
have you guys seen any other movies that you guys had seen or something?
I went and saw Nightcrawler in the theater.
Oh, how was that?
The new Jake Gyllenhaal film. It was really good. I really liked it. It was a little slow. You could tell what was going to happen from the trailers, and I kind of felt like we were going to get into that a little sooner in the film.
Yeah.
So there definitely was a little bit of a lull there, but I really liked it. It just seemed like a little watered down American Psycho, you know?
Oh, okay.
So, pretty much exactly what you expected, but Jake Gyllenhaal was fantastic. In it, you know, was Wolverine in it?
I was going to say, I was waiting for the person that was going to show up to the movie to say, why isn't he blue?
He didn't even say Bamf once, you know, it was really disappointing.
Yeah. He drove everywhere. He didn't even transport anywhere.
He had five fingers instead of three. Yeah, I know. There was no... There were no references to that. So.
Worst comic book movie ever.
Yeah, really. Didn't even use it as source material. You know, that's another thing that's in the, to turn it all back around, the Cabin in the Woods thing. There's somebody dressed like the character from American Psycho in one of the TVs as well. He's wearing the plastic around himself, and he's walking around with an axe.
So nice.
They even got that movie in there somehow.
Nice.
I do want to see... I am interested in Interstellar, but... At the same time, it's like I want to see it because it's a Chris Nolan film, but
right,
and some of it looks interesting, but I guess because they're being so secretive about it, you know, part of me also is like a little disinterested as well.
Oh my God, you're crazy! It looks fantastic. I can't wait. I mean, I'm so excited.
It looks visually amazing. I guess I'm not a big Matthew McConaughey fan. Maybe that's what it is. And
well, I'm not either. But yeah. I mean, it's a space movie, Rich. Space movies are awesome, and we're finally getting good ones.
It is a space movie, but it's not actually. It's funny because even though I'm into sci-fi, I've never been into astronaut space movies. You know, like even though I like that George Clooney one, you know, I thought it was good and all that, but I've never been one to like say, "Ooh, I."
Which George Clooney one, Gravity or the other
Solaris?
One, Solaris.
Well. I did like Solaris, even though it was painfully slow.
I couldn't sit through it. I couldn't last. And I'm somebody who's playing Alien Isolation for 80 hours.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sit through Solaris.
I think I had seen the original, too, so I think I had that frame of reference, so I knew what I was in for, but...
I had.
But, but I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good, and also, I think part of it is because I'm figuring things out from the trailer, like I think I figured something, and I think also in you know, I watch a lot of, you know, when I'm doing stuff, there's a lot of talk shows on, so I see a lot of these celebrities everywhere, and in there they're trying to be so aloof, you know, and secretive mm-hmm. about things that they're giving things away in a way,
right?
That I'm starting to figure things mm-hmm. out, and so. But I
just don't watch any of that stuff, which is terrible because, like, I'm on talking with you guys about movies and things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I really stay away. I stay away so much from things. Like, I'll watch trailers as they come out, but
I usually do too. But it's part of my job. Like, I have to kind of see all that mm-hmm. stuff. You know? I don't mean for this. I mean my actual job.
Right.
So I kind of am forced to watch some of those interviews sometimes, and I'm like, oh, I know this is giving something away, you know, but.
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence about it. I definitely want to see it. It looks, I mean, I there's no doubt it's going to be visually stunning.
Yeah.
I'm just so hit and miss with Nolan movies. I find him fascinating as a director. I think he's incredibly talented, but some movies I gel with and some I don't, you know, as much as I really loved Inception, I also was really annoyed by it because they explained everything to me. You know what I mean?
I always forget about that.
Where people were just like,
think about that movie.
Like, this movie's going to blow your mind. You're going to have to compartmentalize what you're watching and then, you know, keep it on a shelf. And I was like, what?
They always had to say that term. They always had to say, you have to compartmentalize. And I was like, oh my God.
It's like, really? But, you know, I
think it's made, you know what that's made for too? Because, now that I pay attention better. Now that I pay attention more in movies, I find that when the movies that overexplain, when I never noticed they overexplained before because I'd lose focus. So you know what I mean. So it was almost like, Richie, remember you missed this part before, but what we said in the three scenes ago was this. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I think that's done for like the average audience more than for the independent audience. You know.
Right.
Where independent audience is like, fuck it. If you miss it the first time, then I don't give a shit, you know.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there's missing something the first time, and then there's missing something the 21st time. Yes. And that really did hammer. Like, I was not a big fan of Inception either, actually, because it really hammered the nail. Like,
I like looking at it. Like, it's on HBO a lot, and I find myself like, there's movies that I don't like that when they come on, I'm like, yeah, I can't watch this again. But then his film, I don't know, all of his films, I just find myself leaving them on. Like, I never.
Well, they have a very, I mean, for lack of a better term, cinematic quality. You know what I mean? It's very epic. You know,
even his lower budget ones, like Memento or even like.
I love Memento,
the one
with
Robin Williams, which I just blanked on that. Insomnia. Like, that. Those movies, like, something about those two just catch you in a way. Like,
I wasn't a big fan of Insomnia. I might have to try that one again.
Yeah, I connected with them so much because I was living that life and at that time, and it just hit me in the right space, you know. So I think he has this great way of telling stories visually. Maybe he's not a strong storyteller, but in terms of verbally.
I'm just really excited about the story that we're going to see with this. And I mean, I just watched recently Europa Report for the first time, which I thought was really good, which was about, you know, people traveling to Europa to try and find signs of life and, you know, which was very interesting and a great film. And what else was kind of spacey and good that I saw recently? Sunshine, I saw this, you know, within the past 6 months or so for the first time.
Oh, you had never seen Sunshine before?
Yeah, I'd never seen Sunshine before. It's so good.
But
it's just, I don't know, I so love space movies, you know, and I love exploration movies. And I'm like, especially the whole idea of having to further the human race. And I mean, that's a very real, you know, a very real possibility in our future. So without getting too, you know, crazy, you know, yeah. but you know, this is very, very interesting to me, and it looks like it's going to be framed in a very, I don't know, very beautiful way. So I am very curious. Yeah. And I'm not a big Matthew McConaughey fan, but what did he win me over with? He won me over with something.
Well,
oh man,
Dallas
I wish
Buyers
he could
Club was a really good movie. I have to say.
I didn't see that.
Well,
so maybe the Lincoln commercials. Maybe you liked that.
Maybe
did you guys see Jim Carrey's take on
that? I saw the Jim Carrey. Yeah, the Jim Carrey take was so perfect.
That was so awesome. Yeah.
That was so perfect. Oh my goodness. No, he was in something that made me go, "All right, I give up." I really didn't like him. Like, actively disliked him for the longest time, because he was in another space movie, Contact, where I was like, what's up, bug eyes, get out of my movie, you know, like, get out of here, I don't like you in this movie. But that's what it was. I saw the one with the brothers, Bill Paxton.
Frailty.
Yeah, yes. I saw Frailty and I was like, all right,
yeah,
you're
that
good.
Was a good movie. I forgot he was in that. That was a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to watch that one again.
Bill Paxton directed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just realized we kind of breezed over it, but just to quickly say that, you know, it's funny, DC and Marvel both released their big slates.
I know.
And I like that what Marvel did at first when they announced Captain America, they said, Captain America Serpent Society, and then came back after everything was revealed and said, okay, it's Captain America Civil War, mm-hmm. which was funny, but it's...
That was funny because I saw that first one, and then somebody came to me a couple of days later and was like, yeah, they confirmed Civil War. This is in the title of Captain America, and I'm like, it is? I don't remember seeing that.
No, it's Serpent Society, Cobra's Revenge, right?
Well, I couldn't remember what it was that I saw. Like after hearing that, I was like, I'm sure it wasn't Civil War, though.
Yeah,
would have recognized that.
Well, the amount of movies they're making. I mean, they've got Captain America: Civil War. Then they've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2. That's a no brainer. Black Panther. I was surprised is getting his own movie. But I'm sure.
No, we knew that for a while, though.
Yeah, I just thought because even though for a while they were talking Black Panther, I just thought they would do what they did with Hawkeye with him, you know, just kind of wrap him into something else. Captain Marvel.
Why? You don't think he can carry his own movie? Come on.
Who, Black Panther?
No. Come on.
I mean,
they're an equal opportunity employer.
Yeah, there you go. Captain Marvel's the weird one to me because. They're going with what's going on now in the comics and Captain Marvel's a female character right now. So I think they're going to skip the whole history and just go with her. Cause that's what all of the trade is talking about is who's going to be Captain Marvel, you know? And it makes sense because there hasn't really been any female lead character yet in any of these series. You would think Black Widow would have had her own movie, but that's why I was surprised they were going with Captain Marvel on this one.
Whatever.
Also, it annoys me that Captain Marvel and Shazam have to come out in the same year. Like, why do they always do that to that?
Those Disney bastards.
I know. So then you got in Avengers Part 1 and then Part 2, Infinity War. Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, yeah.
Which is...
Cumberbatch.
Is he doing definitely? Was he confirmed?
Oh, I don't know.
Nobody's confirmed from what I've heard. They keep talking about different stuff.
But you got to think about this. What's really sick about all of this is that all those movies are coming out like in what, 6 years? What, 7 years from now?
I know. Yeah.
I think the latest that they did was 2019. Was the latest that they?
Yeah. No. Yeah. 20 actually listed. November 2nd, 2018. The Inhumans.
Let 2018. Okay, cool.
Yeah, let me go line up now. 2018. Holy crap.
That's just insane.
Well, it's 4 years. It's not even. It's all a little more than 3 years. We're in November of 2014 right now. That's not that much time.
Really? I don't know. It does seem like a long. I mean, it seems like when I remember Empire Strikes Back coming out, and then they said Return of the Jedi is coming out. It was like 3 years later, and it seems so long. And then, and I guess because of the age I was at, I mean, 13 to, you know, to, well, actually, no, I was 10 to 13. It did seem, it seemed long in those years. You know what I mean? Because you think about
somebody. Yeah, but we're going to have lots to fill. I don't know. I think that it's all smart because it's all interlocked too. Right. You know, they've got things set.
Yeah, no, I don't mean it's not smart. I just think about it, like maybe because I'm older now, like it just seems so far away. Like, it just seems like so...
I'm not going to make it to these movies. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Like if I was signed as a director and they said, okay, you're making all these movies, I'd be like, okay, I hope so. You know, I mean, like, I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? It's a lot of commitment, you know, for all these actors, too. Like, like to sign an actor to say, okay, 2018, get ready because you're going to be in Avengers. You know, it's just, it's just very weird that the slates,
But that's that's how these licenses work now. You know, this is kind of the way it's going.
Yeah. Although the only difference now is when they Lord of the Rings. At least they were making all three of them at once, so it was like okay, you know.
I know. I wish that they would do that just for the actor's sake.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or did you guys hear? Speaking of which, for the actor's sake, did you hear Idris Elba's, you know, little backlash for some comments that he made about filming for Marvel.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be in them anymore or something like that.
Oh, well, really?
Well, he didn't say that, but he's making some very negative comments about how it was so torturous filming reshoots for Thor 2, The Dark World, because he had just been the lead in, what is it, the Mandela? I don't know, Manala. That's the lady. But he had just been in the lead, and he had the day that he got back in England, he had to be back on the set for reshoots for Thor: The Dark World, and his hair was different, so he had to have, you know, hair glued on him, and he had this helmet on him, and he was like swinging in a harness because it was when he was filming, you know, falling off the that really cool dark elf, you know, spaceship kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was a really intense reshoot, and I'll give him that. I'm sure it was grueling and awful.
Plus, he was pissed about the hat too, right? Didn't he complain about that?
He was complaining about the helmet. He was complaining about the sweat. He was just kind of being a jerk about talking about how it was torturing. He was just in, you know, the day before, you know, the lead in something else, and he kind of came off as very dickish.
I always think is so weird is when actors talk about like green screen work and saying, you know, nothing's there, right? Then you go see a one-man show where somebody's playing, like, all these characters. And right. They're like, you know, and it's like, okay, well, isn't that acting, too? Like, what, like green screen acting is just an extension of stage acting.
My favorite play is Old Town.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's like, it's such a weird way of thinking of it, you know. Like, and that was one of his complaints, too. Apparently, he was a big pain in the ass on Pacific Rim.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, it was in that same article.
Yeah, I think he also, no, I didn't, in the article I saw, they mentioned that he let slip that he had filmed something with, you know, Thor's brother, which we're assuming is Loki, for the next Avengers film. So, and that was a leak. And so I guess he got in a lot of trouble, you know, with Joss Whedon or, you know, the studio or whatever, because they don't want those kind of spoilers. They really spend a lot of time to make sure those things are kept tight. And when you have somebody who's really, I mean, it's a main character, but not really a main character, just kind of spouting off, kind of, you know, biting the hand that feeds you. And they even, the article I read even made a parallel where I think, the film Mandela, is it, am I saying it right?
Mandela.
Mm-hmm. Why can't I think of that? Like, Mandela, that made like 2.7 or 27 million around the world. Whereas, you know, Avengers made like 667 million around the world, and he's talking down about it. And I'm like, really? You know, like,
yeah. And then the end of the Mandela after the credits, when Sam Jackson appears to recruit him for the Avengers. I mean, I don't
understand.
Was
he playing Nelson Mandela?
Is yeah, he's playing really Nelson he Mandela. Playing? Yeah.
Well, he's being kind of a jerk. That doesn't really seem in character.
I know. He's no Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela.
Right? Jeez. No, oh, that's so funny.
I guess also, I thought he got nominated. No, did he? I don't even know.
I'm in too many movies.
Yeah.
Where? I'm speaking now in my real voice as Mandela, and now I got to talk in this fake voice in Thor. And there's green screens and a giant hat. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and isn't he was a he was in like a TV show on BBC too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Luther.
Luther. Okay, so if he's overbooking himself, that's his problem.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and he was on The Wire.
If he doesn't want to do it, then don't do it. You know, don't be a jerk.
Yeah,
you've got to imagine these big robots.
I think it's also, you know what it is too. I think it's, you know, if he has to do these movies by choice, it's one thing. I think when they sign a contract, when they tell you you're going to be in 8 movies or something like that, something happens to somebody. Like, I think they all just get frustrated by the idea of having to sign away so much time, you know, which I understand.
Well,
but
well, you know what, though? They also just won the lottery.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think something happened. You know, when you get to that lifestyle and you're so used to being in movies, you don't want to be told what to do anymore, I think is what happens. So when they say, hey, we need you to show up for these reshoots, I don't want to. You got to show up. Damn it. You know, and then they show up all, I'll be in my trailer.
Well, I mean, I'm sure those Marvel movies are frustrating to work on because for the actors, because those movies do change a lot.
Yeah.
Like as they're being made, like from beginning to end, it's like they, because they're constantly testing and reshooting and re-editing and reshaping those movies up until the very end, up until they release it. So it's like, you know, a lot of times I'm sure it could be frustrating. It's like, I just finished that scene. I got to redo it. I got to do something else. What the heck? So,
well, and that's just it. There's an understanding of a way to talk about things, though, where you can say, like, you know, it was really challenging because of all of the reshoots, but you don't have to be a jerk about it. You know, right, you'd be like, oh, it was complete hell. You know, it was torture. I called my agent and said, do I have to do this? And he said, yes, you're obligated. And you know, I was like,
oh my God.
They didn't
have the snacks I wanted. They didn't have to be continued with the DC lineup for next time.
Anyway, yeah, absolutely.
I think, and then we've got some, next time we'll talk about Interstellar and some more of the, a lot of movies coming out very soon. So, we have a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys. It was good talking to you.
You too.
Yay.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.